there, my lovelies. Welcome back to another episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today we'll be discussing Pet, currently streaming on Amazon Prime, and 10 Cloverfield Lane, currently streaming on Amazon Prime and Hulu. Spoiler warning.
Hard spoilers.
Yeah, hard spoilers. Like, legit spoilers. Sometimes we say spoiler warning and then we're like, but it doesn't really matter. It matters for both of these. And they're both really good. And I'll feel horrible if you let us spoil them for you.
So do not turn off now.
Yeah, don't
if you
be a,
haven't
don't be a
and
dick.
Plan on seeing this. Yeah, it's, I mean, Amazon Prime and Hulu. They're somewhere. They're there. They're there for you.
They're there.
Watch
totally.
Them.
Just for you. No one else.
Precisely.
Yeah. It's good. They're so good. Okay, let's go.
It's true.
Before we start, though, I'm so out of it. It's Monday.
I know. It is Monday.
It's like the hardest Monday ever, though. It's like extra hard. Before we jump into these movies, let's get started with a segment we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Rupture, due for theatrical release April 28th. I forgot to write it down. What's wrong with me? Yes, April 28th. I just remembered it. Woohoo.
Awesome. Is this going to be in theaters?
I don't think so, because I've heard nothing about it.
Yeah, me either.
So I'm guessing no on that one.
Cool.
It's directed by Steven Schoenberg, who directed Secretary, for those of you who like fancy erotica.
I just like Gyllenhaal's.
Or Gyllenhaal's. Or, God, I can't even think of his name. I'm like the worst person. I'm like, I shouldn't even be allowed to have a microphone in front of me today.
That guy.
That guy.
If you
Andrew.
Like that guy.
Is his name Andrew? Andrew. Andrew.
I'm drawing a blank as well, so.
From Pretty in Pink.
That guy.
That guy. So sorry about it.
I'll find it, probably.
And it's written by Brian Nelson and Steven Schoenberg, but Brian Nelson wrote Devil, 30 Days of Night, and Hard Candy, which are some pretty decent ones.
Yeah.
Decent movies. The IMDb summary is: a single mom tries to break free from a mysterious organization that has abducted her. I don't want to recommend this trailer, although I think that this movie will be pretty good. I think the movie looks good. I think the trailer gives you too much.
I know. I was so bummed.
But I don't know how else they could have done it. I mean, I could have probably just cut out that one little scene they give you.
Yeah.
But I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want to spoil it, and I'm sad that I know this information.
Don't watch the trailer, just see the movie.
Yeah, look for the movie because it looks great. A twist. It's also like kind of a confinement film, so it goes along with the movies we're doing today. But yeah, there's a part in the trailer that I'm very upset is in the trailer, but you know.
Me too. Maybe I'll forget about it by the time we see it.
Yes, a mysterious organization abducts her. And I like that synopsis. It's one sentence and it's good. It's good that way. Let's not add more.
That's all we needed to know.
Yeah.
So, I don't like when trailers tell me too much. It bums me out.
Well, I think especially for movies like this where it's like, okay, well, you're leaving me on a cliffhanger in the trailer and then you have a reveal in the trailer. Like, that's not that's not good. It's kind of like defeating the purpose. I mean, granted, we've never seen the film, so maybe there's more twists along the way and it doesn't matter. But I was kind of sad. I was like, why did you tell me that? I didn't need to know that. I would have still wanted to see it.
Yeah.
But either way,
I'll see it still, probably.
Yeah, I totally will. I think it looks great. But I'm just saying,
like, oh my God, we did a trailer trash talk on this.
Yeah.
That's what always happens.
Me too. All right. Well, that was anticlimactic. I apologize in advance for how this episode is going so far.
Oh, we're so committed.
We are. I mean, we're committed because we're doing it.
Carly
couldn't get her internet to work. So I sat for 20 minutes waiting for her with nothing but a glass of wine to keep me company. So that's Carly's fault. You can blame
And then
her.
I had to watch a really great video that Amy shared with me.
Oh my God. I need to post a link to that for the show notes. It has nothing to do with horror. It's just amazing.
There's spikes involved and old ladies.
And men stripping. Or just one man, really.
Mullets.
Mullet.
A mullet.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there's multiple in the audience.
Okay.
Where are we starting, Amy?
I think we should start with Pet.
Cool.
From 2016, directed by Carles Torrens. Is that how you say his name? Carles?
I think Carles is good.
Carles? Okay.
Carles
Torrens, who directed Apartment 142. And it's written by Jeremy Slater, who wrote The Lazarus Effect, Fantastic Four, and the new Death Note movie that is coming out with Adam Wingard.
Now, which Fantastic Four movie are we talking?
I think it's the more recent one.
Okay. I mean, not that, I guess.
I don't.
That makes sense.
And Lazarus Effect is terrible. But I have high hopes for Death Note, and Pet is amazing. I loved this movie.
I really did, too.
I really, like, even more, like, I knew I was going to like it because a lot of people I have similar taste as recommended this to me. But I loved it even more than I thought I would. The IMDb summary is a psychological thriller about a man who bumps into an old crush and subsequently becomes obsessed with her, leading him to hold her captive underneath the animal shelter where he works. But what will the victim have in store for her captor? I hate this summary, and I didn't have time to write a better one, so I just grabbed it from IMDb, and I was like, this is terrible, but I can't do better right now, so.
I, again, do not continue listening if you have not seen this movie, because we're going to spoil the F out of it.
Yeah, and there's so many twists and turns.
Like, I was so impressed by this movie.
Me too.
Because, like, I knew that I was going to like it, like you said, but I did not expect what I got from it. And it was so satisfying.
It was.
That I was like, what is happening?
Right?
In the best way.
Yeah. It was, the twists and turns are great. And, like, I knew that there were going to be twists and turns, and I knew it was going to, like... I knew that somehow she was going to be controlling the situation to a certain extent. And yet, like, when it happened, I was still surprised by how it happened, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you think you know what's going to happen, and then it just kind of, like, jumps somewhere else. But it's done so gracefully, and I don't know. Like, it's really great writing, for sure. I was really impressed with the writing here. The dialogue's really great. The character development's really
strong.
It's
so weird because it's like we've warned people, but I still don't want to like spoil it. But like, I'm gonna.
We have to because there's no way to talk about it otherwise. It's too much going on. You can't really talk about it without spoiling it a little bit, even because.
I was not like other than what we had seen because we did a trailer trash talk on Pet. I didn't read anything else about the movie. I didn't know anything else about the movie. So, like, when we find out that, like, she's a serial killer, I, like, was like, wait, what?
Yeah, not where happening? I thought it was going to go. I totally was like, she's schizophrenic. Like, she has issues with schizophrenia and multiple personalities or something. And it totally didn't go that way. It was like, you know, she was just... talking to someone to keep herself company because she's stuck in a cage. Like, it's not schizophrenia. It's just, like, her trying to keep herself company. Like, it totally goes a different way, and it's so good. But especially want to talk about Seth. Because Seth, at the beginning, is terrifying to me. I found him so frightening and creepy and worrisome. And
he made my skin crawl.
He, like, totally made my skin crawl.
Things were happening, and I was literally like, I can't watch it. It's like too, like, that in itself is like horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, just the situations that he put himself in were just so uncomfortable.
Totally. And when, I'm sorry, but when someone gets punched in the face and they start laughing, like, that's so scary to me. I don't know why. But, like, when he
gets,
like...
with their blood-filled mouth.
Yes! And, like, he obviously got hurt. Like, he's on the ground. And yet, he's, like, laughing, and I'm just like, that's such a scary reaction to getting punched.
Oh my gosh. And everything, like, oh, did you get my flowers? Like, I know, yeah, they're your favorite.
And she keeps forgetting, like, him. Like,
I know.
Take a hint, bro.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's, and I love how he's like this creepy character, and then he turns into like this innocent almost. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Like, he was really just obviously he wasn't really just trying to do good, because that's not like a normal reaction.
Right.
But I think you're right. I think innocent is a good term for him.
Yeah, because he's not trying to hurt her. He's right. Trying to technically help her, but she didn't ask for his help.
No.
You know, and when you don't know why he's trying to help her, you're like, what's this pompous asshole doing? Like, she doesn't want your help. She's fine. Like, I don't know.
She's brutal.
She is so brutal. Like,
I was scary. Really impressed by it. I've never personally heard of this actress before. And so I was just like, she played the part really well, I thought. But the mm-hmm. character is just so brutal.
She is. Like, everything. It's great. She's, like, ruthless and does not give two shits. She's just... She's out there for herself and, like, mm-hmm. the kill and nothing else. And it's really great to see that. I don't know. I was really impressed. I agree. Her performance was really good.
And I loved that when things were happening, like, they kind of set you up and you think that things are going to go one way. Like, when the security guard finds her and she... You can tell that she's calculating, because she's mm-hmm. not saying, yes, Seth, put me down here. Oh, my God, help me.
Yeah.
She's like, there's a ploy going on. But I was like, right. Oh, she's going to kill the guy and then whatever. But no, she is using this opportunity to further push Seth.
Yeah.
To a, like, she, this where she wants him.
Yeah. She just has him under her thumb. Like, the entire time. There's no power exchange. It's like, I mean, there is, but it's very quick and very early. Mm-hmm. Like, she's in the cage about 30 minutes into the film. And I'd say 5 minutes after that, you have a feeling that she is totally in control of the situation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has minor control over her eating and stuff, but she can get him to do anything she wants. Like...
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing how quickly she figures it out and how easily she's just able to control him. He goes from creepy to, like, pushover real quick, like, really quick. And, you know, it's just so great. It's really creative. I've never seen a film like this before. And it uses... I love it when, like, modern horror movies use, like, standard horror tropes to, like... to, like, push, to, like, make you think you know what's going to happen and then completely trick you into thinking something else. Like, that's just a really fun way to do something creatively. You know, it's a fun writing exercise, I'm sure. But
yeah.
I just really love that about this movie. Like, it nothing.
So good.
It's so, so good. we're just going to keep saying that probably, but it really is. Like, I was so impressed. I loved that she had a journal and that kind of, helped when he got the journal, like, my heart jumped. Like, I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
But really, it's just like, it, you know.
Oh no for him.
Yeah, oh no for him.
Not
exactly.
Oh no for her.
And
this whole movie is just a mind fuck in, like, the best way.
Yeah, totally, totally, totally. I also liked how the security guard was smart. He made choices that most intelligent people would make. I don't think, because sometimes they have those characters where you're like, God, why aren't you figuring this out yet? Like, this guy is obviously creepy. You know he's creepy. You don't like him at all.
Oh, and his poor dog.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. But it's just, I really liked that part. You know, it's, you know, nice to have, like, intelligent Black characters that, like,
yeah,
are portrayed. And, like, I don't know. It's just, like, everything, like, the women were really strong, and there's Black men that are really strong. And, like, the wimpy white dude. Like, it's kind of nice. Like, switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I forgot who said it, but someone on the social media was like, I didn't really appreciate, like, the geeky white guy thing, like, the stereotype. And I was like, it's your turn.
Like, yeah, like, what are you saying?
Like, are you kidding me? What's geeky what? White guy stereotype? No, I'm just, I understand where you're coming from, but you can take a turn. You can take a turn, white guys.
I mean, I know more real people that are like that than I do like any other kind of stereotype.
Right. Yeah, I just thought that was funny. It was funny. I really love that about this movie. It just kind of turns. There's this one scene that sticks out in my head, too. Again, I'm just going to talk about random scenes probably, but there's a part where he smashes the bowl because he's frustrated. He's eating cereal. He smashes the bowl and he cuts his hand and there's milk all over the place. And then the blood like mixes in with the milk. And I
was like, that blood looks legit.
It, for some reason, was so visually appealing and like appalling to me. Such a like a powerful image. And I really liked that scene a lot. Me too. It was really powerful and really kind of beautiful to look at. Because when I think of milk, I think of, you know, like nourishment and like innocence almost, you know, like babies and milk. And then blood is such like a violent bodily fluid to be mixed with it. It's just like, I don't know, such a great contrast. And the contrast of colors is really cool mm-hmm. with that imagery. So I found that really appealing and also troublesome in my own head. There was some good like body horror in here too. Not a ton of it, but what was done was really effective. There was a scene where we lose a thumbnail.
I literally yelled out body horror.
Yeah.
I just thought about you. I was like, Amy loved it. She was so excited for that nail.
I did. And like, I don't know, like there was a finger cutting off and there was a bunch of different little things like that. And when Holly just, like, bashes her face in, that is, like, the brutal. Most brutal thing. Like, I was like, this chick is amazingly badass. Yes. Like, and you know it, like, you have hints of it in the beginning. Like, there's little things she does that you're like, all right. Like, when she maces him in the face, you're like, all mm-hmm. right, she can hold her own. And then, like, she smashes her face in and you're like, okay, she stomps on a rat with her bare foot. And I'm like, okay.
I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. That poor rat.
I was just like, oh, okay. You're a little bit crazy.
She's and a lot of bit crazy.
She's a lot of bit crazy. It's so like effective though. He's basically just like becomes a puppet before your very eyes. And she is very masterful mm-hmm. as a puppeteer. Puppeteer. That's such a weird word. Yeah. It's like after I said it, I'm like, did I just say puppeteer?
You did. And it's sometimes real. It's a real things. Word.
It is a weird. It's a real word, but it's also a weird word.
A real weird word.
A real weird word. I'm drinking wine. Okay. Also, I wanted to say, Tony was watching this with me, and my husband used to be a welder. When he was putting himself through college, and he when he's welding the cage, he's like, he wouldn't need a torch for that. So shout out to Hubs, who knows when you need a torch or not when you're welding. So
that's great.
In case you were wondering, that's an inconsistency that no one knows but like welders.
Maybe he's not a professional, and so he just thought.
He just wanted to use a torch for fun, yeah. Probably. I mean, why not? I would. Yeah. Maybe you don't need to, but maybe you want to. Fire. Fire is fun.
Fire and metal.
Fire and metal. Yes. Super masculine.
For that little to do. Adorable man, Charlie yeah. from Lost.
Charlie, is that what I knew him from? God damn it. I knew him from something.
He's also in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Is he British?
Yep.
Yeah. Because I was like, his accent was a little funny. Like, his American accent was just a little bit off.
Yeah.
And I felt like it wasn't super consistent the whole time.
No, he definitely had a lot of British inflections.
Yeah, which was fine. It didn't really bother me, but I was like, I think he's British. He's talking really weird.
Yeah, I think I noticed it for probably like the first 15, 20 minutes. And then I was just like, pfft, and so I didn't care about it anymore.
Yeah.
That was my mind blowing.
You get used to it. But I don't usually notice stuff like that. Usually I'm like, if it's kind of American, like I'm fine with, like it doesn't bother me. But this one was a little bit funny. Charlie Hunnam has kind of a funny American accent, too. It's like quite there. Like, it's really close, but it's not quite there. I love Charlie Hunnam, too.
I love him.
I know. I love him, too. I'm not insulting him. I'm just saying, when he uses an American accent,
British
I'm like,
accent, though, is a little weird.
I know. I think we've talked about it on the podcast before.
We definitely have.
Yeah.
Probably. Okay. I don't know. I talk about his accent.
Yeah, we did, because I said he sounds like Snagglepuss in real life.
You did, and I loved it.
Yeah. Let's just talk about old episodes. Here we go. Episode one. Just kidding. Okay. This is going to be fun to edit.
Now I just have that, like, Not Penny's Boat picture in my head. I love Lost.
I never finished it. I could never, like, get into it.
I've definitely thought about, like, rewatching it, but I don't know. It's such a commitment.
The first season is awesome.
Yes. I think I've seen the first season a few times because I've always been like, awesome. I'm going to rewatch it. And then I just never make it past that season.
Okay. So back to Pet. There's a couple things that I found not super believable. And I'm going to list them. See how you feel about them, Carly.
Proceed.
Wedge sneakers when you're a waitress and on your feet all day.
Wedge sneakers are really comfortable.
When you're a waitress and on your feet all day.
I would not do it, but I am a klutz.
Yeah. I mean, they're comfortable in comparison to high heels, but they're not comfortable in comparison to sneakers, like regular sneakers.
That's accurate, but like I
know she's wearing like a skirt or like a dress and it's shorter and she, you know, you look better when you wear the heels with the dress, but she's skinny and leggy. She doesn't need that shit.
I can understand from like a character point of view, but I also just don't think that it's legal. Like, I feel like when I worked in a restaurant, you like had to have the like certain shoes, especially if you were walking in the kitchen as a server.
I've never been a waitress before, but anyone I've ever known who's a waitress had, like, either required footwear or, like, super comfy shoes they wore as a waitress.
Like, the non-slip stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I support. This is a yes.
Okay. There's my... These are stupid inconsistencies. I'm just kidding. But these are the ones I found. This is all I got. It's all I got, guys. Just let me do it. I'm arguing with nobody. The basement. There's a basement in an animal shelter that they don't use ever for anything. There's nothing in there. Why?
I mean, and it definitely takes place in LA, right? Like, this looks like LA.
It does look like LA.
I feel like there's a lot of basements in LA, but
there's not.
I guess that's neither here nor there.
Southern California in general.
Yeah. I can see that. Why would you have, like, it looks like almost like a tornado shed or something like that, because it's like the pull open door in the floor. Like, that's not really an easy place to put things.
I guess you're right. But it just seems like so much space to not use at all.
Just and like, what are you going to put in there? It's like, I mean, it's a kennel.
It's true. Is it a kennel? It's not a kennel. That's an animal shelter.
Yeah.
I made you skip through the part where you recognize it's an animal shelter. Did you actually skip through?
Oh, I definitely watched up until the point where they're like, we have to put down the German Shepherd. And then I was like, I'm going to go in the kitchen. And then Steve was like, okay. And then he was like, I'm going to go in the kitchen. And then he came in the kitchen, and then we were both in the kitchen while both of our dogs were watching the movie. Just like German Shepherd getting put down.
Yeah, that's
hard to watch.
And
then I stayed in the kitchen, and he came back in to tell me that it was safe.
Yeah, you don't even see anything happening, really, but it's emotional. It's a good scene. Yeah. In here, I'll just, like, kind of give you an idea of what happened since I figured you wouldn't watch that part. I was, like, texting Carly. I'm like, okay, don't watch minute 6 through minute 8.
Just skip it. I love it.
Okay, so there's a point when they're going to put down this dog that our main character, Seth, really likes. He's a fan of this German Shepherd. He loves this German Shepherd, supposedly. And the vet is like, hey, why don't you take, we need to put her down. Come help me. And, you know, Seth seems really upset about it. And the doctor's like, well, you know, you can take her if you want. Just say the word and she's yours. And he's like, I can't have a dog in my apartment. And he's like, get a different apartment. And he's like, I can. I make $9 an hour. And he's like, you got to start taking charge of your life, basically. And Seth was like, no, just kill the dog already. So that kind of is when you kind of start to see that Seth is a little bit of a pushover.
Yeah.
And you almost take that scene as like maybe it was semi-traumatizing for Seth and maybe that's what made him like take charge and grab Holly and like maybe that was him taking charge of his life. Mm-hmm. So it was a great like that was a great way to do it. It was really hard to watch though because we all love Lexi the golden or the German Shepherd and it was really sad when that happened, but I also think it was a really effective way to tell that story and kind of lead you down this path. But yeah, it was hard to watch. And when I was watching it, I'm like, oh, Carly's not going to like this.
I appreciated the text. But yeah, I agree. That is a great way of showing and not telling.
Yeah. And there's kind a of lot of what, that. There's a lot of examples of that.
Which makes this movie amazing.
It really is. I really appreciated it. Also, we have Claire, a character named Claire here, which who is in iCarly. Are you familiar with iCarly, Carly?
Just that, like, whenever I told people my name, they were like, oh, like iCarly. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know what that means. I know it's Carly the chick, is Miranda such a Cosgrove. Confusing wasn't name. She? What?
Because it's such a confusing name, someone has to equate it with a TV show.
Yeah, I don't know. I get that a lot. And I'm always like, that's yep, funny. That's the one.
I had an addiction to like Nickelodeon, like preteen and early teen shows when I was in college, and that was one of them that I used to watch a lot.
Nice.
So, but yeah, she was on that show, and so when I was watching it, I was like, "Aren't you like seven? Like, how are you in that, playing an adult in this movie?" And I was like, "Oh, it's been like a decade, Amy."
Well, wasn't she like Samara or something?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
Or was it Donnie Darko? Was it Donnie Darko? She was in something.
No.
Now I'm going to Google it.
Pretty sure she was in iCarly and not much else.
I'm pretty sure. No, not the chick in this movie, but iCarly.
Oh, Amanda Cosgrove?
Miranda Cosgrove.
Miranda Cosgrove? I don't know.
I think so. She was definitely in School of Rock.
She was in Samara. She was in School of Rock. She was in like a bunch of stuff. She was pretty popular.
Maybe I'm just high. I guess then. I'm just high. She wasn't in any of those things.
No, but that's
okay. I'm confusing her with the other chick.
But that's okay. So this movie was great. Is there anything you'd like to add? Or do I have more inconsistencies? I don't think I do. I think those were my main ones that I wrote down.
I have no things.
No. Some other cool stuff.
I liked this movie.
Some other cool stuff. They fed someone to the dogs. That was brutal.
That was so gross. All I could think of was, oh my god, their poor stomach, the blood in their stomach.
You are so hilarious. They're dogs.
I'm crazy.
They can handle some shit.
They can. That's accurate.
My uncle has a farm and he has this dog and he doesn't feed it because it hunts on its own.
That's so crazy.
So dogs can eat raw animals, and I'm sure that can also includes humans. So just saying, I'm sure they're fine.
That's, yeah, you're right. It still grosses me out.
It's totally gross, but I'm just saying, I think they can handle it. All right, moving on?
Moving on.
Moving on. Okay, our next film is 10 Cloverfield Lane from 2016, directed by Dan Trachtenberg, who I just found out directed one of my favorite new episodes of Black Mirror, Playtest, which is the video game one. And the writers of this film are... I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, I love that too. I didn't realize.
Yeah, no, that one's great. He doesn't direct it much in terms of movies, but that's a great episode of Black Mirror. I really enjoyed it. The writers for this film are Josh Campbell, Matthew Stuckton, who have done very little, but also Damien Chazelle, who wrote The Last Exorcism Part 2, Whiplash, and La La Land. So one person involved in the writing slash directing of this film has a lot of experience.
Yes.
And then the rest, not so much. After getting in a car accident, the IMDb summary is, after getting in a car accident, a woman is held in a shelter with two men who claim the outside world is affected by a widespread chemical attack. This movie's also super great.
Yes.
I saw this in theaters, and I'm not a huge Cloverfield fan. I know you are, Carly.
I do like Cloverfield.
So I'm to assume that you were excited about this one. But I just love John Goodman. I'm pretty sure that's the only reason I saw this to begin with.
I love John Goodman. I also love Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah, she's great. And she's fantastic in this.
Yeah.
I think she does a really great
job. Everything that she does, like even movies that aren't good, she's amazing in.
Yeah.
Like, what's that movie? The Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer movie.
Okay.
She totally plays Abraham Lincoln's wife. She's amazing. That's all I have to say about that. Well, she's awesome. Great.
I mean, I love her. I think she's great. And John Goodman is phenomenal as always. I've never seen him in anything and thought, yeah, he sucked.
No, he's just so, it was so that nice seeing. He's this awesome. Is such a departure from, like, I don't know, whenever I see John Goodman, I'm just like, oh, I just want to hug you.
Well, here's the thing about John Goodman is are you a fan of the TV show Roseanne?
Yes.
Okay, so am I. I'm a huge fan of Roseanne. I've seen every episode many, many times. And I absolutely love him. And he can go from hilarious to frightening, like, on a dime. Like, he is so quick to be able to just change like that. And he did it a lot in Roseanne. There was definitely a lot of episodes where he would get scary angry. And it would, like, freak everyone out in the show, and rightfully so. But he was always very good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this movie, he kind of does the same thing where, like, you know, he tries to be sweet. But then he's got this really angry, like, scary side. And the duality of that is really the contrast of that is really fun,
yeah,
and frightening and creepy, and so he's the perfect actor for a movie like this, and I would think that he would be able to do a lot of horror movies because of that that contrast that he's so able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's phenomenal and he's great in this, and I love him so much. Don't really ever go away, John Goodman, please.
The whole cast is great. You have
it really is.
John Gallagher Jr., who's awesome as well.
Three people, really. I mean, there's what, like, four actors, but really we only spend time with three of them.
Yes.
So.
And they're great.
Yeah. They are. All fantastic. So, did you see this one in theaters?
I did.
That's all you got?
Okay. Yep. No, I did. It's actually, the director is friends with one of my friends here. And so, okay, like, they went and all, like, saw it in, you know, like, yay, Dan.
That's really exciting. So you, like, know him, kind of.
I don't. I mean, okay. I might have met him, but I don't know him. Not saying that I do. That one degree. But so, like, right off the bat, like, I was expecting great things. And I know that this wasn't, like, to be a sequel or anything like that. It's supposed to, like, take place in the same universe, right?
Yeah.
As Cloverfield, or, like, the same time period, I guess.
Yes.
So I just want to know what's going on in that time. Well, what is, like, that is just, everything's going to hell, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting is this movie wasn't written for the Cloverfield universe. It was written on its own. And then J.J. Abrams' production company, Bad Robot, took it and adapted it for the Cloverfield universe. So I wonder what the initial script looked like. And I wonder if, because basically it's a normal film until the end. And then there's it almost feels like there's like a short horror film attached to like the ass end of it. Like you watch an hour and a half of this movie and like the last 15, 20 minutes are like a horror short. Because the rest of the movie doesn't really read as a horror film to me. It reads more like a psychological thriller. Mm-hmm. There's definitely some horror elements in there. There's particularly certain scenes with acid that I couldn't be categorized as anything but horror, I'm pretty sure. But it's more, it's really like a thriller. Like it definitely feels like more of a thriller to me when I'm watching it. But the last 15, 20, it's like a sci-fi horror film, for sure.
It seriously feels like a whole different movie, because you're just like, what, like, run, basically. It's like my only thought at the end.
I was really surprised by how much I liked it when I saw it the first time, and then I kind of thought watching it a second time I might not like it as much, because I knew it was going to happen, but I actually think I like it more upon a second viewing, because I caught little things that I didn't catch the first time. Mm-hmm. And I think they pretty much spell out for you how it's going to end in little ways throughout the movie, but like there's no way to catch them the first time you're watching it, you know? Yeah. Like John Goodman's such like a, you really can't put your finger on John Goodman or what's going on in his head or what's wrong with him, or you know, is he crazy only, or is he crazy and smart, or is he like, I don't know. Like, you can't really figure out what's going on with him. You always feel uneasy when he's around.
Yes.
But you can't quite figure out why. And he lost his daughter because his ex-wife or whomever took her and moved away. So he became like a serial killer, where he was kidnapping young girls to, like, pretend they're his daughter. That's kind of what I got from it the second time around. I think the first time I didn't catch that. Because he's, like, has these girls that he obviously was keeping in this bomb shelter and acting like they were his daughter. And even with Michelle, who's our female character, our only really female character, he treats her like a little girl, and mm-hmm. she's a grown woman. There's this one scene where they're playing a game, and it's not charades, but I don't really know what game it is, but you know, you can't say the word that you're trying to get the other person to say, so you're just, you know. And he was trying to get him to say Little Women, you know, so he was like saying, oh, Michelle is one,
yeah,
and he's like, girl, child,
yeah,
princess. It's like, what? No. And she's just looking at him like, what?
That seems that, so great.
It's so great and so creepy. And I love everything about the awkward moments of this movie.
When he's like, I'm awkward, always watching, always watching.
Yes.
And they're like freaking out because they're like, he knows, he knows. And then she's like, Santa Claus.
He's like, I'm taking the point for that one. You weren't supposed to answer. She's like, no, totally. You should. You should totally take that point.
There's so many great moments in this movie. And I love that in the beginning, it's kind of like the same thing. You're not sure if this guy is like just, you know, crazy. And then she escapes, or like thinks she escapes, and she ends up seeing a woman's face melting off, and like you're like, oh my god, maybe he's not crazy, but then you come to find out he is crazy, but just not totally, and he's also, you know, kind of right about what's going on up there.
Yeah, and they, you know, Emmett says something to the effect of, you should hear his theory on giant space worms or whatever, you know, and then the creatures end up being giant space worms. So you're like, okay, obviously this guy knew what was happening, but he's also evil as fuck. Like, you can totally be both, and he is both, very much so.
in some
he's
way.
He's crazy. He's crazy, but he's also smart. So yeah. Just saying.
Oh, it's so good.
Sometimes you can be crazy and smart at the same time.
It's true. But
quite a few people can be that. But yeah, that was something that was kind of pointed out. I read on IMDb, like this, in the trivia section, there was an interesting comment in how the beginning of this film plays out like the beginning of Psycho, in that that what you're watching isn't really connected to the plot at all. It's just a way to get you to know your characters a little bit more before like shit hits the fan. So, you know, when she's packing her suitcase, which is also something that happens at the beginning of Psycho, you know, there's a lot of that. Granted, this isn't quite as long as the beginning of Psycho is, where you're like, okay, that was kind of pointless, but it's not pointless because you get really so much information. Get.
Yeah,
it's true. And it's the only time you see her not in captivity. So mm-hmm. It's kind of important to see
she was engaged. She's leaving her fiance. You don't know why, but...
And you can also tell that she runs away from her problems a lot. Mm-hmm. She has trouble confronting her problems. But when she's put in this position, she really doesn't have any problem at all. And she ends up being kind of a badass. And even initially, yeah. When she, like, is strapped to the bed and can't get her phone, like, she's really good at problem solving. Like, you get that right off the bat. And her trying to get out of that room, I thought that was super creative when she makes, like... the crutch into like a little spear and waits for him to come and also sets fire to the room. Like, yeah. She does all these like crazy things. I'm just like, oh, like, you're smart. Like, you can figure this shit out.
I would not have thought about that.
No, I totally wouldn't have either. But it's great because she's really creative, and you also like know everything she knows. Mm-hmm. So you're finding out everything the way she finds it out, which is awesome because I personally prefer that. And we basically follow her the whole time. I'm trying to think if there was a scene without her in it, and there's not. I'm pretty sure she's in all of them. I don't think there was a scene with just John Goodman and Emmett, was there? I don't know. If there was, there wasn't much of it. It's mostly her and her point of view, which I thought was really well done and effective. The cinematography is really nice, too, because when she is outside, there's a lot of wide open spaces, mm-hmm. A lot of really long shots. And so it's really nice in contrast of the rest of the movie when you're kind of just stuck in one spot. And the same thing happens when she gets out. There's a lot of like far away shots and ways to make you see like big open spaces when the rest of it's so very different by contrast, is very combined.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I loved it.
I loved it too. It was great. I liked, yeah. I mean, I liked everything. There's really nothing about it that I was displeased with. I found it really entertaining. I really liked watching it. I think this is like the third time I've seen it. It's a great film.
Tony also watched this movie with me and wanted to point out the fact that my husband's very mechanically inclined, so he's always pointing out like weird inconsistencies in film. So he's like, when she's climbing through the vents, he's like, you know, they use screws to put those things together. So she's basically cutting the shit out of her body right now. Like, there's no way she wouldn't be all cut up coming out of there. Just like, that sounds about right.
You're like, whatever, really she can take it. Though. It's fine.
Yeah, she's brutal. It's fine. There is a scene, too, when John Goodman dances at the jukebox that I found very pleasing and lovely. Just wanted to point that out. I just love him so much.
I love him so much, too.
Yeah. When I saw this the first time, I was like, I kept waiting for Emmett to die this time when I was watching it, because I thought it happened earlier in the movie. So I'm like, how is he still alive? I thought he died by now. Like, and I was getting like more and more attached to him. Like, no, he has to die soon. Like, don't get attached to him. And then it still was so effective when he died, even though I knew it was coming. So I was like, God damn it, I forgot how it happened. And
he's so sweet.
He's so sweet.
He's great. I want to see more of this guy.
And I thought he had great chemistry with
Michelle. Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I'm like, Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yes, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. They had great chemistry together, and I liked it when they were playing off each other a bit and had like this chemistry. And even when she's like pretending to flirt with him just to piss off John Goodman, like, it was such a weird, creepy thing. And it wasn't sexual, but it was very much like, you're mine. Like, it was very, he had this, like, this ownership that he felt. He was due gratitude, and he felt like he was due, he was owed something from her.
Yes.
And Emmett, too, but more so her. Like, he really... And he happily killed Emmett. I feel like anything he could come up with to kill Emmett, like, he was down to do it because he just wanted to be down there with her. Emmett was never supposed to be part of the equation. I don't know.
Wasn't he, though?
It was, no, he snuck in. He fought his way in. That's how he broke his arm.
Oh, I thought he was supposed to because he had helped him build it.
He did. He helped him build it, and then he said, I want in.
Gotcha.
To the bomb shelter. So he fought his way in.
Okay.
So
then when
he didn't want him there. I'm pretty sure he didn't want him there at all.
You're right. I remember now. That was not in my brain, apparently.
They watch a movie called Cannibal Airlines, and I wrote it down because I'm like, oh my God, I gotta look up this movie, Cannibal Airlines. But then it's not even a real movie. They made it up for this film, and I was very sad because I thought there was a movie called Cannibal Airlines. Can someone please make that movie? I would love to watch that.
I also would watch that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it's about, but sounds good. Cannibals on an airplane, I guess. Like snakes on a plane, but with cannibals, I suppose.
That would be absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
More so than snakes on a plane.
Yeah. I love how when she's making her, like, jumpsuit, she uses so much duct tape, and I was like, duct tape is so handy.
I know.
During the apocalypse, I want to start just carrying duct tape with me.
I'm just going to start buying random rolls of duct tape.
Just, like, keep it in my purse. Yeah. You never know when you're going to need that shit.
It fixes everything.
It does. You can make anything out of duct tape. Duct tape is so useful.
So true.
God, what would we do without duct tape?
Have a lot of broken things.
Yeah.
Probably.
Things that don't stick together very well. And when I also noticed that after John Goodman kills Emmett, he shaves his face and he starts dressing nicer. He's like, I don't know, trying to look more presentable, I guess. I found that extra creepy.
That is super creepy.
I
don't know.
I was like, oh, well, he's like, he shaved his face and he's like combed his hair and he's wearing like a button down shirt and khakis. Like, this is weird.
Yeah, he's getting ready.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't know. Maybe that was going to get sexual. I don't know.
I mean, it has to take a weird turn because she dies at the end, but maybe not in this case because, like, she's his only company.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. She's pretty badass at the end of this, though.
She's super badass.
Yeah.
We have two badass ladies in our movies this week. In different ways. In different ways.
Yeah, in very different ways. One of them may be a little bit bad in general. Oh, what I was going to say is when Emmett's taking responsibility for them fucking up and they're like standing in front of the acid bucket. What Emmett comes up with is probably the worst thing he could think of. Like, he might as well have just said the truth. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he kind of makes it better at the end when he's like, I just want her to respect me the way she respects you or something like that, which is laughable, but he's trying to play to John Goodman. But I thought that, like, you could have come up with something better than that. Like, we wanted to make you a present to show our appreciation. Like, why wouldn't you fucking say something like that? I don't know.
I don't know.
I thought that was, like, a terrible idea. Yeah.
I got nothing.
I guess. But when he said that, I'm like, no, that's a terrible thing to say.
You're going to die.
He's going to take his gun away. Like, he's going to fucking kill you. And then he did.
Goodbye.
But Emmett wasn't really a smart character.
No.
So, yeah. All right. Are we ready to move on? Let's move on.
We are.
Okay, cool. So let's move into our newest segment that we call social media. Oh, sorry.
I was so excited.
I'm so sorry. Let's try that again. I'll cut this all out. I promise.
Please don't.
Let's move in. Let's move into our newest segment that we like to call
social media question of the week.
Today, this week's question is, you are kidnapped and held hostage by a horror villain. Who do you want to kidnap you and why?
I really enjoy reading these.
We got so many great responses this week. I'm going to read all of them. Eventually, we're going to have to start cutting some of these out because we're getting a lot of them, but I don't want to yet.
No, so
we're
good.
Not going to. Yeah. Mike from Horror Junkies podcast says, The Collector, because if I'm going out, I want a challenge. I haven't seen that one yet. It's on our list. We even talked about doing an episode on it.
It is on our list. But
very cool answer, I suppose. I wish I knew more about it. I don't. Elizabeth said Hannibal Lecter because my death and the resulting meal will be artistic and meticulously planned with some nice mood music.
So excellent.
Now, I think that these what you're going to notice as I'm reading these is some people are accepting their death very easily in this scenario, and others are trying to pick villains they think they can beat. So I think that tells a lot about who you are.
I think so, too.
I'll probably die, so I want a nice meal and some mood music. I love that, Elizabeth. Thank you. Kill by Kill, the Prom Night 3 version of Mary Lou, because we love puns, from the Kill by Kill podcast. I never saw that one either.
I don't think I've seen Prom Night 3 actually either.
No, I don't think I have, but now I want to. That sounds like a great live tweet. If there's puns in it, I want a live tweet. Yes. That's basically what I want to do. So thank you for that suggestion, Kill by Kill. I'm taking that as a suggestion to watch it. At JW the Go-Getter on Twitter says, Sam from Trick or Treat, because I think eventually we'd be pals. Yeah, Halloween's my favorite holiday too, man. Crazy. Javi said a similar thing. He said Sam from Trick or Treat also because he'd probably feed me tons of candy and then realize I love Halloween as much as he does. BFFs.
Total BFFs.
Yeah. At Stuart S. Ward from Twitter says, Creature from the Black Lagoon. There's a chance he'd let me go if I gave him my Twinkie. See? Fighting it.
Smart.
At Giant Be With You on Twitter said, Jason Voorhees. I could use some of that child psychology to escape. But then I reminded at Giant Be With You that just last week he told me that he wouldn't mind dying at the hand of the Love Witch because she's so very beautiful and he thinks it's worth it. So then I reminded him then. He said, oh, you're absolutely right. Fuck that. It's definitely the Love Witch.
I really enjoyed reading that exchange via Twitter.
I was like, are you sure? He's like, oh, I forgot. Do you want to read the next few?
Yes. In Between the Novel on Instagram. Do I pick the guys from Scream because I can kick their asses or a vampire so I can be one too?
Tough. Oh my gosh.
Decisions. I bet she'd pick the vampire.
I think I would. As long as you can guarantee that the vampire is going to make you a vampire. I mean, there's no real guarantees.
That's
there.
True.
But yes, I mean, obviously I'd rather be a vampire than have to beat up the guys from Scream.
Yeah. Oh, Stu. All right. Justin from Horror Business says, Pinhead. His conversation would be fascinating. Or Chop Top. Let's go with Chop Top.
But no reason for Chop Top other than it's Chop Top. Justin really likes Chop Top.
No reason needed.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess it's not going to be boring having to talk to Chop Top.
That's very true.
Over and over again. It's very creepy, but, you know.
The creepiest, probably.
Yeah.
Cat Black says Pinhead, because at least I would be able to get a preview of what hell is like now before I eventually end up there later on anyways. Prepare yourself.
I find that so very hard to believe, Cat Black. You seem like a very dapper gentleman.
Nightmare Junkhead, skincare is essential as you get older, so I will say Buffalo Bill because at least my skin will be nice and moisturized before he flays it off.
That's a really good one.
That's so good.
Yeah, I love it.
And then Sam S. says, Chucky, because I'm always one punt away from freedom and being kidnapped by a 2 foot tall doll is going to be a hell of a story.
That is accurate.
That is accurate.
Yeah. Good one, Sam S.
Chucky was like almost my first instinct for that very reason. But then I was like, I kind of want to go out like Cabin in the Woods style, because then you can like, there's so many options. I don't have to choose one.
Wait, what was yours? Oh, Cabin in the Woods. But you have to pick one. I think that's the point, is you have to pick one villain.
But like, Harley. From
you can't just say unicorn.
The unicorn. The merman.
You're breaking the rules of the question.
I'm picking them all.
Okay. I think that I would go with Black Phillip from The
That's
Witch.
That's so terrifying, though.
It is terrifying, but I feel like Black Phillip would just, like, he's going to make me evil. But I don't think he would kill me. I think he would just, like, teach me how to fly and, kill people or something.
Depends how he's feeling that day.
Yeah, that's true.
That temperamental goat.
That's true. But, you know, I'm a relatively young woman. I'd make a good witch.
You would make an excellent witch.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, anytime.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with us before we close out. Do you have anything new to report, Miss Carly? It looks like you went on a little adventure last weekend.
I did. It was really fun. I got to see the Munsters' house. My cousin is going to the New York Film Academy for screenwriting, and this past weekend they filmed their short stories, and so I was in one of her classmates' short stories, and we got to film on the Universal backlot, and they closed Colonial Lane or Wisteria Lane, because it's like a lot of the Desperate Housewives houses. All except for one house, which was actually dressed for filming, we got to like go inside and... seeing the Munster house was super cool. The house from The Burbs is there. And then obviously all the ladies from Desperate Housewives house. But I've never seen Desperate Housewives, so I couldn't really authentically enjoy them as much as I did when I was like Warner Brothers backlot. And I was like, I'm in the Gilmore house, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's really exciting. I'm a little bit surprised you've never seen Desperate Housewives, because you would love Desperate Housewives. But I didn't watch it when it was on the air either. I watched it when I was out of work. I like binged it.
Amazing.
Yeah, because that's what I do when I'm out of work. I, you know, look for a job for a short period of time and then binge Desperate Housewives.
What actually made me want to see it is I went on the... When I went to Universal one time, I went on the studio tour that they have there. And you basically, like, sit in this huge cart and they drive you around to, like, everything. And it was these, like, four awesome big black men and then, like, me and Steve. And we were all in a row. And, you know, we were, like, you know, responding to everything that happened. But they flipped out when we got to Wisteria Lane. And they were so excited. And they were like, oh, there's What's-Her-Face's house and so-and-so. But they were, like, actually saying these characters' names. And I was like, these guys love Desperate Housewives. And
Desperate Housewives, awesome.
That made me really want to watch it.
Yeah, you really should watch it. I think you'd like it. It's really great. I really enjoy it. And
I'll have to add it to my Netflix queue or Hulu. Desperate
Housewives is for everybody, Carly.
I know. I just thought it's like fantastic. For older women, to be honest.
No. It's like it's like cheesy on purpose, and like there's murder and like people cheating on people, and it's kind of like a soap opera, but not. Like, it's very dramatic and crazy, but it's just really good. You just have to watch
now,
it.
See,
you would
like,
really
I didn't
enjoy
realize
it.
Until like people that I think would not watch the show like it. Like, I didn't know that you liked it. There's like a couple other people that I know.
Well, and that's kind of what I thought when I never watched it either when it was on the air, because I always thought it was like
a show for my mom.
Yeah. Like, I always kind of thought it was like, oh, it's like a weird drama for old ladies.
Yeah.
Like, I totally understand why you thought that. But it's not. It's really good, and I know you would really like it, and you should watch it.
I'm excited.
I want to rewatch it now. It's been so long since I've seen it. And I'm like, why don't I rewatch that? Because I'm rewatching Buffy is really what's happening.
Are you rewatching Buffy?
But just some seasons, not all of them.
I like that about you.
I can't get enough of it. It hasn't even been like 3 months, and I'm already like, no, I need more Buffy in my life. I don't really have much going on with me. Did I ever watched anything good? I feel like I did, and then I didn't write it down, so that doesn't help me out. I've been rewatching Better Call Saul, or watching Better Call Saul, because I just added the second season to Netflix.
Oh, nice. I've actually never watched
it. Oh, it's really good. Did you like Breaking Bad?
I love Breaking Bad.
If you like Breaking Bad, you'll like Better Call Saul.
I know. I've heard that Better Call Saul is awesome, but I just never gone there, I guess.
Yeah.
I've never taken
time. It's a little weird. It's a little weird when someone's older and they're supposed to be playing a younger version of themselves, but, you know, you just kind of have to, like, suspend belief. Yeah. No, he's great. I haven't really been doing much, and we don't really have too much coming up. I mean, we have a lot of really fun stuff coming up on the show. But not a lot of stuff in my regular life or really anything interesting I'm watching. So there's that.
I don't have anything interesting I'm watching either. Last week was a dud.
Oh, I watched Ghost Watch.
Oh, you told me about that.
Yes. So Shudder comes through again, you guys.
I didn't even watch it when I said I might do that tonight. I didn't even watch it.
You really should when you have some time. So, just to give you a little bit of a background, this aired in, I believe, 1992. This is off the top of my head, so if I'm wrong, I apologize. It aired in 1992 on the BBC on Halloween night, and it's a mockumentary, but it seems very real. So there's a lot of basically it starts off like kind of funny and jokey, and they're going to this house that's supposedly haunted, and this woman and her children live there, and they're just going to spend the night with the kids in the house and kind of just see what happens. And they're like, okay, watch along with us, and if you see something, point it out and call into the show. So like, people thought this was real when it was on. And
I want to watch it now.
It's really entertaining and really fun. And there's even like parts of it where like, that's not real. Or someone will call and be like, I saw a shadow by the window. And you're like, there's no shadow by the window. And it's not, there's no jump scares, but it's still effective for some reason. And I know it's fake and I know it's kind of silly, but when I'm watching it, I'm still like, what am I going to see something? Is something going to jump out? Is something going to happen? You know, like I got really into it, and it's just a really fun time. So read the Wikipedia page and then watch the movie. If you have Shudder, I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun.
Have you ever seen Garth Marenghi's Dark Place?
No,
you have to watch it. It's kind of the same thing. It's a British parody of 80s horror TV, but it's like part soap opera, but it's like completely ridiculous. Like, it's so funny. I'll send you a link.
Dark Place? It's called
Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
All right, I'll check it out.
It's so that's really funny.
Okay, so if you have Shudder, I recommend checking out Ghost Watch. I totally forgot that I watched that. I was like, I know I watched something cool that I wanted to talk about, but I watched it like, you know, right after we recorded last week, so I forgot about it. Okay, so anyway, that's the end of the episode. And what an episode it was.
Thank you for staying with us if you've made it this far.
If you're still listening, like, you're obviously awesome and we love you. And if you're not, fuck you. But you're not listening, so you don't know I said
that.
So there you go. Stuck it to them. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit Final Girls Horrorcast.com. to find information on them or to listen to any and all of our episodes. We still have stickers to give away. If you're interested in getting stickers, hit me up on social media and we'll make it happen.
Ooh. Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Tuned In, and pretty much anywhere else you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
Woohoo! Well, that's it for today, my lovelies. We have such fun stuff up ahead, but not this next episode. This next episode is just going to be a normal episode. Next week we'll be discussing The Train to Busan and The Host, both available on Netflix, so check those out if you haven't seen them yet. I honestly don't know that I've seen either of them. This is a Carly episode.
I've only seen The Carly Host. I haven't seen Train to Busan, but I remember loving The Host.
We all know that The Train to Busan is going to be amazing. Yes. Because that's all I hear about is how amazing it is. And I just don't like zombie movies, and I still know I'm going to love it. So just embracing it. We were going to do World War Z with it, but they took it off of streaming. So no longer streaming World War Z.
Amy's happy about it.
I am. I didn't really like that one. Okay. So that's it for today. We will see you next week, my lovelies.
Bye.